Thank you for coming this afternoon, and welcome back after a nice lunch. I hope we don't get too comfortable, but thank you for attending. I'm Kathy Davis, the Manager of Pathology Informatics at the University of Michigan. I have been with our department for more years than I wish to confess at this point, but I'm having a great time. And I wanted to share with you today some things about managing LIS personnel. And I think what I want to do is go over who LIS personnel really are, because when I call my colleagues, it varies. People say, when you talk about LIS personnel, sometimes they're part of a central IT organization, sometimes they're actually in the lab, and then sometimes there's actually a group where you have LIS folks managing the system. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Some of the challenges facing LIS personnel and LIS managers. Look at some of the skill sets requirements of a LIS support team, hiring, training, and retaining a strong support team, relationships with lab personnel, with other departments, with vendors, and some project management and prioritization and crisis management. So I wanted to cover all of the topics just in general to get us thinking about what it's like managing our LISs today. So starting off, LIS personnel. Who are LIS personnel? Well, clearly they're the folks in the organization that understand the business needs and the workflow in the clinical labs. They're responsible typically for all the support, maintenance, and configuration of the vendor product and to promote and enhance the laboratory workflow. They are responsible for the implementation and support of all the value-added processes that enhance lab workflow. And we know today that, yes, we have an LIS, but we have typically many, many other servers and applications that add value and support the core mission of the laboratory information systems. And many of us have those because we have 20-year-old systems today. At Michigan, we have a Cerner Classic system right now, and we've had it for over 20 years. But we have grown into an organization supporting many, many more value-added applications. So we'll talk about that a little later. They understand the business integration and interface issues of the organization, and they understand typically, depending on network infrastructure and systems management, depending on where your LIS personnel are within your organization. I wanted to start out by sharing just a little bit about the organization of the Pathology Informatics Department of the clinical side at University of Michigan. We have about 20 FTEs divided into five teams that we aggregate into special areas, and I'll show you the organizational chart in just a few minutes. We manage well over 200 servers. Some of them are virtual servers. We've really been utilizing VMware, which is it's a wonderful technology. We're engaged almost always in greater than 150 projects, which sounds ridiculous because, you know, we can't possibly do them all, but they're all lined up in our queues. But we do have a good number active, maybe 30 active at any one time. We support more than 20 labs. That's probably less. It depends on how you think about your lab organizations. But maintain and support interface engines. This is critical to our environment now, our interface engine that takes our lab information and disperses it out and communicates with the rest of the enterprise and outside the organization. We run an outreach support program. We support the program. We actually have an MLabs department that is responsible for our outreach program, but the LIS support team is key to making that function. And we have customer service, help desk, supporting the missions of all clinical research and educational divisions in our department, obviously 24/7 support. This is the organizational chart. I know you can't read this, but I just wanted to give you an idea of what it looks like. Dr. Belise is at the top. We have Dr. Jerome Chang now, and and an administrative assistant over here to the left, and myself here. Dr. Chang is our fellow, but he's also our domain specialist as we proceed with our new and our biggest lab project, which is the implementation of our new LIS. We chose SOFT, and we're just beginning our project with SOFT Corporation, and Jerome is our domain specialist for that product. What I do is divide up the groups pretty much into four teams. We have the LIS lead that takes primary support of the lab information system. We have a custom support and desktop, customer support desktop group that manages all the calls, 24/7 operations on call. Actually, on call is shared by a few of these groups, but operator support 24/7. We have systems that keep our hardware running, shining, tuned, and in that group. And then we have a special applications group that does a lot of the value-added projects and manages those areas and any of the custom and homegrown applications that we have. We also have a web group that you've met. Both of them are here. John Hamilton is in our LIS group, but he also participates partly in our web group. So we have three people, really, that report pretty much to Dr. Belice. You're the technical lead on the web programming group, and the rest of them all report through me. And we have a lot of fun at Michigan, especially so many changes coming forth. I wanted to share with you some of our teams. I think teams are really, really important. And this is a picture of some of our desktop support team that we have working with us. And there's our help desk. This is our operator. She's our day operator. And we do have a machine room. We have all of our servers. This is unlike, I'm sure, many of you today, because I know there's been a big move for central IT is typically where servers are housed, but we have servers in a machine room that's fully up to date, and we have a 24-hour operator coverage, and we have our own help desk. We have our systems support team, and these folks keep our servers running. They support us 24/7, and this is in the background. You can see some of our servers, virtual servers as well, and they do an excellent job, cross-trained each other, and so forth. Here's a familiar face, John. John working with our interface analyst. Actually, Ramesh is one of our consultants, but he's been helping us with a migration. We had a big, huge project. You know, one of those kinds that are externally mandated projects that come into your LIS. You're doing your thing, trying to get ready for a big LIS project, but at the institutional level, you are told that you have to migrate from a certain interface engine platform to a new one, and sometimes it just can't happen in the time frame. So we don't use consultants a lot, but we have a great consultant here that's been able to help us on the project. So working with John and Bill, our interface folks, we've made great progress using the consultant. And this is another one of our web support persons. So I wanted to share with you some of the time allocation that our staff typically spends in an LIS group. We see that probably about 10, and this of course varies. We have our bad days. I'm sure all of you can relate. Some days you are spending an awful lot of time with just customer and help desk support issues, but probably 10% of the time we deal with customer service issues. Routine operational support, just sort of keeping the lights on. 20% of the time we are working on general questions, follow-up, restores, whatever it might take to run the system. development projects, I wish it was more, but I think we're spending about 15% of our time actually making headway and progress on our development projects that we have. 25% of the time, which is a pretty good chunk, we spend worrying about and dealing with our outreach program. And I don't think this is atypical. Running an outreach program really does take a lot of effort, and I think that's probably consistent with what you might see in your organizations, that it does have an impact on the IT team. Lean, departmental lean initiatives. We've heard a lot about this week, and it does take a lot of the IT time. Any of the lean projects that seem to be going on within your department are probably relying on data that the folks from the LIS support team are actually pulling together to support those numbers. 15% of the time we're doing other lab departmental support issues. We have a move. I don't know about your labs, but we do move from place to place every now and then, and it seems like the LIS team is involved in every little piece of activity that might go on at the department level. And then finally, external mandates from at the institutional level. We get them all the time. We have an agenda of our own in the Department of Pathology and in our lab, but we have external mandates coming out at us, and we at least spend 10% of our time. And, of course, that varies depending on deadlines and so forth, that someone else needs an interface or someone else is doing an upgrade, and we have to make sure we validate and test that everything will work with that. So one of the common configurations, I believe, as I talk to various colleagues, is that we do have in our organizations the laboratories, most of central IT, maybe medical information systems and an outreach program. I put the blue circle around labs and outreach because they're typically in the Department of Pathology. But there is, in this case, the pathology LIS team supports the applications while the systems and hardware are supported by central IT. This is a real common configuration. But there is a potential for conflict to exist between the LIS team and central IT because of differing priorities, business objectives, and skill sets when you have to rely totally on a central IT to support your hardware platform, or if you are relying even on an ASP model. There are issues with that, I believe. And I think one of the recommended configurations of a LIS support team will look a bit more like this. And we have an LIS support team in the center, which was missing from the other picture. Part of the Department of Pathology, the outreach program, labs, and LIS support team, crossing in to the central IT, relying and working with central IT and the medical information systems team on projects. So this is where, and this is our model, where we do have a dedicated support team managing all lab applications, systems, and hardware, along with a pathologist MD director that provides the clout and the connections within the organization. And then we have a manager, which is me, that has a lab science background. And I think that's important that we can communicate well with the labs because labs respect people that come from a lab background. It makes it easy for them to talk with the LIS support team. And so a lot of the team members that we have are medical technologists. Of course, we have computer scientists as well because we have people that are specializing in keeping the systems running, keeping them tuned, and so forth. But a lot of the team are med techs. And I do find that it's quite easy to actually teach med techs how to become IT specialists. And because they have that background of lab science, it works very well into the LIS support organization. Why structured LIS support teams are important. LIS support teams, as opposed to just loosely supporting an LIS through your labs or through reliance on central IT, they're important because these teams are often more focused on clinical care issues, while central IT teams are often more focused on control issues or system management issues. They have different agendas. Central IT does, as I said, have their own set of priorities, and they don't always include lab. I've talked to other colleagues that say, gee, we want to make this change, but we have to wait and rely on when our central IT can help us out through a change that might need to have servers bounced or managed or whatever. And this can be problematic for labs that have to rely on those external sources to get their jobs done. Central IT teams are often large, and it makes progress more difficult because you're in the lineup. You're in the queue if you rely on central IT, and extra coordination to deploy any kind of software changes or enhancements is often, contributes to a delay in making change happen. Although I cannot say that change is simple in an organization, even when we are in the configuration that we are at University of Michigan, where we're running our own hardware platform and our own software applications, change control is enormous these days. And it's a very difficult thing. If we need to add a new test, we have to start thinking about working with our CPOE system. They have to know about the test first. You have to put it in the test environment. We have to look at downstream systems as well, because we have a lab web portal, so we have to get the test built there. And we have to do all this in a certification environment, and we have to test till the cows come home, and we're likely to miss something. And then we have to do it all again in production. So change control is a tough and labor-intensive task. I want to mention something about maintaining the proximity of LIS support teams along with the LIS server room and the labs. We believe that it is the configuration that allows us the easiest and immediate response to problems. We're able to be there if there is a problem. We're able to be looking at our servers, looking at our in our machine room, seeing if there's any alerts or problems that might be indicated there, as well as being in the labs at the same time. I can recall an incident. It happened at 1 in the morning. And just a couple people, a couple of us had to go into work that hour, and it was the systems manager, myself, and maybe one or two other people, and we were spending the evening running between our labs and our server room doing this kind of diagnostic work in order to get our systems back in sync with each other and working together. And had we 5 miles in between our server room and our labs, it would have been very difficult to address that problem. But because of the proximity, we were able to solve the problem in a reasonable amount of time. But I do believe that distance would have made it more difficult, especially since we were relying on the same, you know, individuals to do the troubleshooting in both places. So this had to do with instruments and robotic troubleshooting. Obviously, having our desktop support team in the same building and not having to use remote tools to go into a desktop where you can actually walk to someone's desktop and help them, maybe a lab tech that's having a problem with their PC, having us in close proximity to them is beautiful because you can walk, you can talk, you can be there, you can actually be there in the gemba, as the lean folks would say. A little bit about organizational politics. Again, I'm professing that we should, as much as we can, control all of our own and manage all of our own software in our own lab systems, and as opposed to having other groups like Central IT and so forth manage it for us. So I think it's important that we educate the institutional leadership, our institutional leadership, of the merits of having this kind of an informatics division or LIS support team within the department that's separate from Central IT. I'm not saying that there isn't a place for Central IT, because I truly believe there is. Central IT should be the people that allow us to actually get down to the business of doing our what we do best, and that is doing pathology and lab science. So we rely on Central IT for all of the, maybe the network infrastructure, the wireless technology, security and confidentiality, measures and so forth. But we have a team then that is able to focus on our business of pathology. So some of the other LIS support teams are unique from traditional IT support teams. Again, we have different priorities. When we know there's a problem in clinical care areas, we are the first to be there. We know that 70 to 80% of the data used to treat patients is lab data. So when there's a concern, we're there, and we realize the concern, the immediate response to that concern that's necessary, and central IT teams may not. There are inherent risks when LIS support teams support off-site configurations of servers and support staff. Again, I've talked about this. It's the proximity. We have to, 5 miles apart or 10 miles across town, if you're trying to support labs and support server configuration and so forth, it can delay problem solving in an organization. So in our environment, we definitely have periodic struggles with Central IT, who believe that the consolidation of data centers and IT staff represent the best technical and economic strategy. And we manage these struggles to protect and preserve our dedicated LIS support team, and we've managed them over the years. I think Dr. Friedman's got a smile on his face. We've been doing this for a very long time. And and now Dr. Belise has had his latest round, I think, within the last year. But we honestly believe this is the right thing to do. Keeping your LIS team, that are from the lab with the business of your department and with your lab, keeping the business unit together is extremely important in our minds. So I wanted to make that point. So understanding the management challenges of an LIS support team. Information management with regard to lab science is in constant demand. We know that. people who didn't believe what the power of laboratory information was even 10 years ago know it now. And they know we have it, and they come after us. We are in demand. And I said that demand typically exceeds all available resources. Well, it always exceeds all available resources at this point. It's a rapidly changing environment. The demands are imposed from many sources. We have three different sources that I want to talk about a little bit. I'm talking about my LIS internal. So I have my internal needs, and I'll talk about what those are, some of the demands and the challenges that we face as a unit. But we also have the departmental support that we have coming at us and after us, and then mandates from external sources. So what we end up with is a sort of a pyramid. You've got the LIS support team sitting at the bottom, piled on with your own LIS internal demands. You got to keep the lights on, and you got to have people trained. Departmental demands, everything that goes on in the department involves some level of IT support. Everything today. I truly believe it. And then you have these external demands. Institutionally, we are asked to do many, many things. Some of these internal demands I'll share with you. HR, yes, we have our own HR issues. We have to hire and train and retain and motivate and do all of those things. So we're worried about HR. We're worried about CAP and regulatory inspections. Incredible today, what we have to do to be ready for these things. It's a lot of work, and I don't think anyone would challenge me on that. To be ready, everything has got to be perfect to pass our CAP and get our accreditation, and that is a job that we go through every year. I mean, I know we should be ready 100% of the time, but realistically, we all know there's a time when we work very hard at that. Data integrity concerns. We can be in the middle of a project that we're really making headway on, but if there's a data integrity question, everything stops. Because patient safety is, of course, first and foremost on our minds. We have a help desk to worry about. How do we track all of the problems that come in? How do we do any kind of monitoring and help desk reporting and answering the phone 24/7? Along with a change control that we are expected to manage as well. We have security concerns, maintenance concerns, troubleshooting. If there's a problem, we've even have people call when they have a problem with their telephone. We're sorry, we're not the right group to call, but usually our help desk is the first one to call that gets problems of any kind reported. And just general politics. I shared with you a story just a few minutes. Well, over the years, there's plenty of politics that we have to worry about, and I don't think we're unique. Although I will say that I've never worked at any other organization besides the University of Michigan, so I can't say that for sure, but I will wager to bet that everybody has their politics that they deal with out there in our healthcare systems today. So some of these department demands, I think I said this, there's never a project that doesn't require resources. Lean support for lab outreach, it's huge. Implementation of complex workflows. It's never enough. We never have it quite right. People come at us and want something else all the time. And we usually say yes. We usually say yes, and we usually put it in our queue, or we do it immediately to solve some of the problems. We have an old system. We have to make progress, and we do. LIS replacement projects. That's a biggie. That is a real biggie. And we even do support for construction and remodeling projects. And of course, now we had litigation. We've had two issues in our area, in our department. Who do they come to? Oh, IT, we have to go to the desktop and we have to look for all of the files that might, and do some data preservation on emails, that might be any information that might be stored on our servers and so forth. So the demands are huge within our own area. Now, external demands. We're constantly asked to test and validate new interfaces when systems are upgraded. And this is going on at our institution all the time. We have new versions of our CPOE product. We have new versions of our HQPM, our patient management product. And it doesn't matter what we're doing. We are supposed to stop, and we march to the drum to make sure that we come to the table when it's time to go live with a new interface. We have, I told you that, participation in external lab result reporting and a blood product utilization. Yes, I told you that people understand the power now, you know, from all departments. So people from the OR come to us, people from, you know, everywhere across the institution. They want blood utilization statistics, and so we've developed interfaces on blood product utilization. It's incredible, and it's incredible what we've done with a 20-some-year-old system to actually make it all happen, but we've pulled it off. Interface engine management. Obviously, without an interface engine, we wouldn't be able to talk to some of these newer systems with our old architecture, and probably many of you are in the same boat. And again, the majority of these external demands are unfunded, so we're just absorbing the work that comes at us. So how do we manage all these demands? Well, we try and identify the necessary skill sets, although they change quite frequently, and we hire and retain great people. I have to say that. I do have a great team. We try to anticipate future staffing needs, although with today's budgetary concerns, you know, we're meeting with administration, as all of you are probably, looking at ways that we can become more efficient and do more with less. Building strong work teams. I really believe in the team approach. Using some project management tools, although I will say that for our team, we keep the project management tools simple. I do know other groups at our organization, for example, that are using some complex project management tools, and it takes up a huge amount of time, and it doesn't go over real well with the users of those tools. Customer support, and I have to say communicate. We can never communicate enough in our own group, within our own department, and across the boundaries of the organization. We have to constantly prioritize, and we have to reprioritize almost weekly. from a practically speaking, I would say don't try to attempt to micromanage your team members. Unless they're new, you've hired probably fairly professional folks supporting your LIS and your LIS applications, so don't try to micromanage them. And you want to encourage and enable your staff to attend as many training sessions and educational activities as possible. So you want to enrich their growth within your organization by getting them off to training classes. And I think this is key. I think it's key to have your staff work on projects that excite them. Let them do the things that they like to do whenever you can. Because I believe that happy workers are your most productive workers. And I think this is really true. I have hired people to do a particular task and come to find out this person had a skill set that I didn't know they had, and it turns out that they are very valuable in another area. My senior interface analyst, who is just a wizard on interfaces, was not hired to do interfaces at all. He was hired a long time ago to be just an analyst to interface with some of our labs, actually, our micro lab. He's turned out to be a complete interface wizard. I can think of another person that was hired just recently to do nothing but HL7 programming, but here he is with us, and he has great web skills, and he's sitting in the audience right here. John Hamilton is another person that, you know, these folks are doing what they do. They're happy to do it, and they get it done. And so I think that we have to look and maybe sometimes rearrange the work assignments that team members have been hired for and let them excel doing the things that they like to do, because there certainly is ample work to do in a division. The other thing, I mean, from a practical sense, you know that all projects take longer than they're expected due to competing priorities and mandates for which you really have no control. So a bit about prioritization. Obviously, we always have to prioritize safety first. It doesn't matter where you're at in a project, making headway toward your goals and toward your development work or whatever it is you're working on. If there's a question about patient safety, we stop what we're doing. It could take an hour and it could take 2 days, but we deal with it. So these are constant interruptions in our LIS workflow. It's important for the LIS team to manage expectations. And I think that's one of the things that we struggle with. We're working away, and the chemistry lab thinks we're going to have this instrument interface all set for them by Thursday, and we forgot to tell them that we had something else happen, and an external mandate or whatever, and it's not going to go in until next Tuesday. That's when our customers get upset and disillusioned. I think that keeping the team informed and communication is key. People really do understand why projects might be delayed, but you really have to make an effort to communicate to them. Transparency is the best solution to help others understand, as I said. Be transparent about it. There's no need to make excuses. Just say what it is. And again, everybody has their own agenda, and they typically don't care about yours, but it does help to let them know where you stand and what other projects have come at you. And one of the things that I think we need to think about is, you know, I said that LIS teams have, you know, lots and lots of requests coming at us. And we seem to be the people that have to sit there and say, yes, I will work on this, or no, I can't work on that. And I think that it's an uncomfortable situation. So I think working within your institution or department to develop some sort of a steering committee to assist with this kind of prioritization would be very beneficial for everyone. So that it doesn't put the LIS people in the loop to say, yeah, I can work on hematology's task, but I can't get the chemistry project done for another month or two. So having this kind of steering committee is very valuable at an organization. So looking at some of the skill sets, again, I think some of these skill sets are not so uncommon as you're hiring anyone, but I'll go over some of them. Solid interpersonal and communication skills, and you can typically pick those up on an interview. And I'm mentioning a chemistry that fits with other members of the team. I really think this is critical. We had a job opening, I don't know, a year or two ago, and it really made a difference to have the group that this person was going to become part of, interview this person. Because it was fascinating that there were people that were qualified to do the job, but the chemistry didn't work. So it really makes a difference when you do an interview to have the team interview this person. And you can really pick up on whether this is going to be a person that fits in well or doesn't fit in well. You can often pick that out at an interview. So group interviews are very key. Obviously, you want someone that's respected by others, and you can usually get this through reference, follow-up. Transparent, open, truthful, honest, service-oriented, team player kind of person. Often hard to pick up at an interview, but if you do your homework, you can usually find these character traits in people. In terms of hiring the right mix of people in your lab support team, medical technology or clinical lab science background, you definitely want to have those people in your group, as well as some applications and systems programming skills. Database management and query, we do an awful lot of that. HL7 interface support. I say HL7, and I know there's other standards there, but this is the most typical and the one that we use the most in our group today. Desktop skills, support skills, systems, networking, security knowledge, that depends. It depends probably a little bit on how your organization is configured, whether you're relying on your central IT for that skill set or not. We're not, so we have to hire folks with these skills. And then web programming. We do support our departmental web, and we need that skill set among our group. So we have a nice mix of folks on the team. So where do we find these resources? Well, your med techs are often right there in your labs, and there are often a lot of folks out there that will, you know, have aptitude for information technology, and they're glad to come in and join the LIS support team. Central IT, sometimes you find them in your central IT staff, people in that group that might be interested in a career path change and move over to a different, more specialized type of work. Obviously, you can do internal candidates. These internal candidates may be from your labs or from central IT, but you can also look at external candidates. And it's often fun to and important to bring in new blood into a group, as we say, because they bring in other ideas. Sometimes it's very good to bring those other ideas into the team, so having a mix of both types. Experienced versus inexperienced, you know. You come in with an experienced person, you don't have to spend very much time training them often if they have the skill set that you're looking for, and that's a wonderful thing. But inexperienced, you bring someone in and you can sort of mold them into the team, and you know they grow with you, and that's also a plus. So having a mix of both seasoned and not-so-seasoned employees is a wonderful thing. Consultants, that's another place to get resources to do projects, and consultants are great. They come in, and I will talk a little bit more about consultants. And then this horizontal integration into the labs. This is a real key concept. We really depend on having a workflow specialist and an IT resource in each of our labs. Though we have this LIS support team with med techs that came from our labs, we're all working together. Each lab has a person then, or two, that's designated to stay in touch with us and keep up on top of the projects that they're working on. And they help us. They help us with database builds, interface installations, and troubleshooting in general. So it really is a way to expand your team. If your team is a little small, identify a resource in each of those labs, and you'll have a larger group, and you want to enable those folks to take ownership in your LIS. Support. So a bit about med techs. The beauty of the med tech is that they really understand the business of the clinical labs and they speak the language. Those are great folks to join the team. They tend to have excellent troubleshooting and analytical skills, that's for sure. They are typically respected by fellow lab staff. So if you had a med tech that came in to join your LIS team and they walk back to a lab to do some interaction, it usually goes well because people have their trust and, again, speaking the language, and then they're readily available resources for you. Again, consultants are great if you have urgent closed-end projects. But consultant salaries, that's another issue. Salaries often exceed those salaries of your employees that are doing the same task, and that can cause rancor among the regular employees. So we have to be careful about that. But salaries, of those folks are higher, and then once again, when their position is ended, the knowledge of how to support the application could leave with them if you're not careful that they have been documenting and actually training your internal support staff at the time they're doing their project work. And then a note about job competition with central IT. This has been interesting at our institution because we are a separate IT shop from our central IT folks. And over the years, it's been interesting that there was a time when people were trained in our lab support area and they would move over to the central IT staff because they got more money. They got more money in central IT than they did in the lab area. So we had to develop a partnership with the HR department so that we could use similar job titles and similar salary and wages for our two groups so that we didn't, each of us train these different folks and lose them to other parts of the organization. So that's one thing that we worked on. And that's sort of evened out. I've been a lot happier lately with this. Using similar job classes and titles to prevent this loss of team members to the other group. One of the things that I think people like about coming into a pathology LIS support team is it's typically a smaller division than the central IT team. I told you we're about 20 FTEs, and our central IT team is probably between 450 and 500 people. And when you get into those big organizations, the jobs are pretty siloed. You do what you do. You're a networking person. You're a whatever you are. But in the lab area, because we're a small group, it's a place where you learn a lot of skills. You can become more of a jack of all trades, and so this is sometimes attractive for people to work in that environment. A word about retaining the resources. It's interesting because you might think that salary is probably one of the things that is the reason people stay on, but some studies have shown that the excitement and the challenging work is probably the number one factor that will keep people doing what they do. Diverse work assignments, this variety of work assignments, and certainly in a small LIS support team, you can offer those kinds of variable job assignments. Choice of projects and responsibilities, again, let them do what they like to do because there's plenty to do. Ability to learn on the job, opportunities for career growth, being part of a good team, supportive management, recognition, value, respect, and trust, very, very important. And our organization has spent a lot of time doing some employee engagement surveys, and this business about recognition and trust is an area that I think we could do better on. Recognition, people you don't quite know where to go with that, but it's something that's important to our folks. Flexibility. People really like flexibility, and they would like to have the ability to do some work from home on certain days and certain times. We haven't quite gotten there yet, but given that we have our laptops and wireless and so forth, this would be something that we could go down that path at some point. And being treated with fair pay, being treated fairly with fair pay is important. And then, of course, goodies on Fridays always helps. Oops, how did that get in there? It's not Friday, but we do. We bring goodies on Fridays, and after a busy week, it's kind of a nice thing to have treats on Fridays. Now, I showed you in the organizational chart that we have these teams, and I really believe in teams, organizing your folks in teams and not having each person have just one or two tasks that they work on. So small teams ensure this redundancy of skill sets that they need to support the system or the application. You always want to avoid these single-threaded models where you've only got one person that knows this HL7 interface and one person that knows how to, add a test to the system and so forth. So teams really make a difference. Progress is threatened whenever bottlenecks occur. So again, teamwork is the answer. And team leader roles for each team provides the stratification in your organization as well, with a chance for upward mobility for team members. And that's been great, because if there's a team leader to each of these areas, if that person were to move on or leave the organization, it gives people the ability to grow into that to that role. Teamwork. Teamwork is the ability to work together toward a common vision, the ability to direct individual accomplishments toward organizational objectives. It's that tool that that allows common people to attain uncommon results. I truly believe in this, and I just wanted to put that in there when I ran across it. Speaking of teams, we do a lot of teamwork. We work as teams within our organization, but we also do outside teamwork. Our volleyball team, soccer. Sorry. You can see I wasn't on that team. It was our volleyball. Our volleyball team. You see Dr. Belize there. We have a little fun in the summer. And we had our bowling team that we got together. Let's see the few familiar faces in that picture there. Diversity. And again, this is no different than any other team, but you definitely want to cultivate an atmosphere that recognizes the values and respects and appreciates the strengths and differences among people. We know that the average age of population and workforce is rising, that 2/3 of the new entrants into the workforce are women, and that minorities comprise 29% of the new entrants into the workforce, and that research shows building a diverse work team may take longer, but that innovation and productivity improve over time. So important to keep in mind as you're doing hiring, and I'm sure that your HR can help you with that. And again, too, managing across the organization generations, it's something, these are some generalizations, but when I think about what is stated, and I think about the folks, because I've got, the whole range of folks working for us, the generalizations are kind of fun. But I won't go into each of them here. HR issues. And I don't care how great the team is, how anything, you will never avoid your HR issues. Angers and hostilities in the workplace, the deceitfulness, the insubordination, the instigators and the troublemakers. We've all got them out there. We know where they're at. But let's see, fault finders and complainers. Oh, yeah, they're there. And then it's just the general slothfulness. Not getting things done. So I love this one. Everything sucks and you can't convince me otherwise. We hear it. We all do. Relationships with lab personnel. So in our organization and perhaps in yours, you have your LIS support team. And you have to maintain this relationship with your LIS, with your lab people. You have to stay connected. Because you don't want to be surprised to learn that the chemistry division just bought a new robotic system, and they need that thing interfaced to your LIS, their LIS, but they need that in a month. That's a big surprise. So staying connected is critical to being able to manage these projects. But those things happen. Horizontal integration into the lab, again, achieved by tagging these med techs that are frontline workers, is key. And that's a great way to stay connected with your labs themselves. And it does ensure that frontline workers have this, that the frontline workers have ownership of the process. So, again, stay in touch because labs have their own agendas. And they sometimes, I guess I'm going over, aren't I? Boy, I didn't think I'd have enough. Can I take 1 minute? Relationships with other departments. I wanted to just say there is a place for central IT, and we need to develop the strong relationships with them because they provide the infrastructure that enable us the time to take care of the business of pathology. So desktop, clinical images, email, paging, security, you know, all of these things are wonderful things that our central IT groups take care of. And then we have to keep up our relationships with ancillaries. You might be able to share some computer resources, support resources, or hardware resources. Vendors, partnership with your vendor. They're out there. You want to kindle a relationship of trust and a co-development. And it's really our responsibility as lab managers and lab groups to work with them and help them understand our needs. I think it's really critical. If they understand our needs, we will eventually have what we'd like. Participate in users groups. Project management, I've already said it. We want to keep it simple. There are long lists of ways that you can do project management, but I keep it very simple. Scope documents, some technical documentation, project sign-offs, and the occasional status reports. These are going to be in your, online, but multitasking is important for project. This is an example of a dashboard. Boy, I didn't know I'd go over this much. At any rate, thank you very much. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Hire and retain good people. Provide training opportunities. Build strong teams. And build strong relationships with your labs, other departments, and the vendors. Stay organized and be nice. That's what it's all about. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Kathy. There was lots of stimulating thoughts there having to do with personnel. It's obvious that these systems don't run all by themselves. Next up, we have Dr. Ronald Weiss, and he comes to us from ARUP, and I'm very excited to have him. His topic today is pain points for hospital labs and their reference lab partners, making them go away. And I'm really curious to see what part he wants to go away. With that, I'm going to turn it over here. Let me